called Salat Daimun, which means basically a state of being in constant prayer. Am I right? I'm testing my Arabic teacher. Making sure he's not sleeping on me. You bump him every now and again. Yeah. At any rate, so this is what we'd like to accomplish. This is the goal of the dervishes. To be in a constant state. In this life, in this part of the world, you know, the Muslims are a minority and there's so many difficulties, but even though the difficulties are great, the reward should be greater if we can maintain the constant realization that we are always in His presence. He is always available to talk to. He, as Allah says in the Quran, He is closer to us than our jugular vein. We can talk to Him at any time. We should always be. There's an ilahi written by Hazrat Nuruddin Jarahi that says, "Mevlaz zikri, Baba, help me, Dilbeitin." Right. Thank you. And what it means essentially is that the lips of the dervishes should always be moist with the remembrance of Allah in your tongue. The tongue, hopefully, there are different aspects to making zikr. There is the zikri, there are basically, let's break it down a little bit for you. Zikri jahri is loud. Okay, this is what we do when we gather, and then there's zikri hafi, which is done silently, which, you know, the dervishes can always do these things, in private time, or if you're out in the public, as you're walking, maybe you're shopping, maybe you're in the grocery store, maybe you're in the mall doing some shopping. As you're walking through the stores, you can be making the zikr in your heart, or at least on your tongue. Usually the zikr for novices, for the beginning people, the people just getting involved in the path, the tongue should be always moving with the zikr. After a long period of time, hopefully, it begins to descend into the heart. Okay, then it sounds in the heart. And when you begin to forget it, the heart triggers and it gets you to go back to the zikr again. And then there's there are actually two more states of zikr. One is the zikr of the secret, and then there's the zikr of the secret of the secret, which I'm not really in a position to talk to you about those things. But they're very high levels of zikr, and they bring you to higher states of consciousness, I would guess. But I don't know. So the thing about it is for one to be able to come close to God, to always remember that you are always in His presence, you can always talk to Him, you can always make some kind of zikr. Muzaffar Effendi Allah Medicine, he taught us that there are two breaths. He said there is an in-breath and an out-breath. And we should be reciting Alhamdulillah as we breathe in and Alhamdulillah as we breathe out. Personally, I don't do that. On my breath, I exhale La ilaha illallah, La ilaha. On the in breath, I inhale illallah. This is my particular practice that I sort of came from. It just kind of came to me, and I developed that. But you'll find something to recite Allah. Now, something for the dervishes, especially the younger ones who don't know. You can make zikr of all kinds of things. But one is to stay away from the Esma'il Husna. Unless, the Shaykh gives you something to recite, that's a different story. But we don't just arbitrarily start reciting any of the Esma's unless it's been assigned to you by the Shaykh. So don't get involved with that. You can recite La ilaha illallah as much as you can, as you want to. You can recite Allah, Ismi Jalal, as much as you want to. You can recite Ismihu, Alhamdulillah. One of the other great things that Allah likes a lot is Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. You can recite that a lot. salawats to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of these things are permissible and encouraged. The dervishes are encouraged to recite these things as much as you possibly can. This hopefully, I was reading in another book today about zikr, and the one who truly makes zikr, the devil comes and bows down to you. There is a place on the left side of the heart where the devil and his armies, they make suggestions to your heart. So if you're making the zikr, this pushes them away. It keeps the devils away from you, keeps the jinn away from you, and it works to keeping you pure and purifying both your mind and your heart. So, any questions about that sort of thing? Alright, ask questions if you want. Now, in terms of our zikr, there's many of you that are kind of new. During the sitting part, well, now we're going to be sitting tonight and next week. But when Yoldar Baba comes back and when Tolson Baba comes back, we'll be standing. But during the sitting part, during the recitation of the Tawheed, the dervishes, their voices are not supposed to be above the Sheikh's voice. You should always, as you're reciting, you should be able to hear the Sheikh's voice. This does not, by the same token, mean you should be whispering. But we shouldn't be loud. Okay, same thing with Ismi Jalla, Allah, Yalla, Yalla. Okay, that part is done basically in a normal tone of voice. Okay, but with attention to the Sheikh's voice. However, when it comes time to get to Ismi High, this is the time when it's completely permissible to be loud. Okay, it's not something, and if you ever notice Bubba in the zikr, he's going like this. He wants to be able to hear you reciting Ismi High. Hey, 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 hey. Any questions about that? Last week, at the end of the zikr, I had not intended to slow it down, but it slowed down automatically. You have to be careful about the changes. You can't make changes on your own. So this is where you have to be pretty much aware of what's going on. At the end last week, what were we doing? Hi, hi, hi. Yeah, hi, hi, hi. And then automatically, as if you think it was supposed to slow down, but we didn't want it to slow down. But instead of fighting it, I just followed along with it. It was not the time. So you have to be very careful. Okay, the dervishes don't make the changes. The sheikh makes the changes. And that's a connection usually between the sheikh and the bender player and the zakir basha. So be careful. You have to really, really watch that sort of thing. All right, because that's it's really bad form. So what else did I want to say? I can't think of what I wanted to say, so ask me some questions about the zikr. The steps. Okay. The steps stay down. The left foot comes up. The right foot drags. You can lift the left foot up and the right foot drags. Left foot, this is what keeps you grounded to the floor. This is what keeps you grounded to the earth. We never lift our feet off the floor. This is not a jumping exercise. Even at the end, when everybody's going, hey, 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 the feet have to be firmly planted. This is what is grounding you so that you don't take off and go too crazy. It's not the idea. It's not to go crazy. It's not the point. Okay, to be filled with love and ecstasy, that's a different story. But to lose control, this is not our way. Okay, there was many years ago, there was an argument between, I forgot who the other one was, and Junaid Baghdadi, and Junaid opted for sobriety in the zikr and not being able to hold. It's like if we were drinkers, it would be. We don't drink, alhamdulillah. But if we were drinkers, it's a matter of holding your liquor. It's a matter of holding on to that which is given to you, not to become completely intoxicated, not to have losing control. Some people go into wedged, and it happens rarely. We haven't seen it here very often, people. But it just sometimes it strikes people like that, and they can't control it. But that's not the objective. There's a story of Kamal Baba al-Rahmat Edison. He and some other people went off to a Qadri Zikr, and all of these people were getting so excited. And I personally have seen this myself. I've been to Qadri Zikrs where these guys, they get so excited, they just kind of fall out on the floor. And then something happens, and eventually they get back up and join the Zikr. Kamal Baba saw this. He went into some kind of ecstatic state, and he fell out on the floor. And he did this in front of Faridun Efendi. And Faridun Efendi came over and tapped him on the face and said, "We don't do that here." So we try not to get too far afield. We try not to. It's a matter of being able to hold your liquor. It's, you know, to hold that excitement, to be able to be a cup that can hold that much. All right? You know, pour water into a cup, you don't want it to overflow. You want to hold on to it. Okay? When the arms go up, okay, the left arm goes over the shoulder of the person on your left, and the palm of the hand goes right behind the heart, okay? The right arm goes underneath, because the man on your right, his hand is now on your heart, and the palm is right behind the belly button and stays there. It doesn't hang, you don't put the arm up on the shoulders or drag people down, but it just gently is placed. There is not much actually ever been said, but once, many, many years ago, it was basically talked about that if this is not so, this breaks the connection. The business of how much space is in between us, the business of holding hands, how you hold the hands, the hand goes like that with the thumb over. We don't hold any other way. It goes like that. The thumb comes over the other person and the rest of it gets held like that. You don't have to squeeze. It's just gentle holding of the hands. You don't want to distract the person next to you by either holding too tight or even holding too loosely, because then you don't know what the other person is thinking. You hold it firmly but yet gently at the same time, not like some wet noodle. All right, don't be afraid, you know, about holding another guy's hand. We're not like that here. So I'm on TV, I can't make any jokes.
I'll edit it.
You'll edit it, thank you. These things are very important. These things are very important for the unity. Okay, if you think about what's happening, what the psychologists and the sociologists call what's going on when we get together for a zikr. You think about it, when everybody is doing the same thing, what they call it is group mind. Okay? This is called group mind. When everybody is focused on one thing, it's a psychological, sociological term for things like this. However, what happens is you lose some of your individual identity, okay, for the sake of the group, which is the way the dervishes are supposed to be behaving. Always, always, the dervishes, everyone else's place is on top of your head, our heads. You think about the one who serves the most, the one who worries the most about you, the one who thinks about you a lot. You know, this is Baba. I mean, and he takes, I mean, even at his age, he is still studying, he is still learning, and he takes that information and he gives it to us. Okay? He, after all of these years, he's still working at it. So that he's serving in that manner. Okay, so the business of service and all of this creates a sense of unity, which is again part of the objective of the business of the zikr. It's a circle, with its unbroken circle, which is the representation of unity. Do you have any questions about the actual how to make the zikr? What's going on with the throat? What's going on with the lungs? Bubba said it's a type of hyperventilation, but you have this piece of meat in your throat called the epiglottis, and that closes partially, so to prevent too much hyperventilation. So. I was having dinner with Wasik last night, and we won't use anybody's name, but he gave this guy, you know, a nargila to smoke, right? And the guy had never had a nargila before, and there he was, puffing away, and after a little while, he started getting dizzy, he started to... He got like really disturbed. I'm like, I can't take any more of this. Wasik looked down and was going to take the pipe away from him, but he realized the hose wasn't hooked into the pipe. There was no smoke. He was just hyperventilating. No names, please. So, hyperventilation will just get you dizzy. Do you control this epiglottis in your throat? It's partially closed, not permitting too much air to come in. All right? And so there was this section in here. Hold on. Darbalesma, meaning the striking force by rhythm. Into the heart. You're striking. That's why the head movements are like they are. You're bringing this energy, and you're hitting the heart with it, trying to open the heart up, so that all of this energy comes to and creates a light coming from you. That's part of why we do it like that. Any questions about that? Can you all do that? Don't be afraid to make noise. It's all one family here.
One question for the women, the asthmas. I always understood that don't have the same stress. There should be much...
The thing what I understand mostly from Baba is that the women should make the asthma, but not so much as heavy as the men do. By all means, you know, the women should. Of course they should, you know. Baba has always been kinder to the women, and he didn't want to see them getting all sweaty and, you know, like the men get, you know. They're ladies. You don't do that. Yes.
Could you speak a little bit about the body movement of the woman as well? Because there are very different ways of responding of all of us doing differently. So is there a suggestion for the women as well?
You know, I mean, even by the same token, even some of the men can't get it. And I've even... having made zikr in Istanbul and been with some of the older dervishes, I noticed that even they have some trouble. So this is also the... So it's like this. The women's movements are quite similar to the men's, just not as exaggerated. Okay? Out of Bubba's respect for the ladies, okay? Seriously, no joke. So now, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la. The head and the body the head sort of moves the body, and the body comes behind. Laila, illallah, laila, illallah, laila, illallah, laila, illallah. So it should be a gentle rocking, you know. And when the actual zikr gets to be a bit heavier, now again, every shaykh is a bit different. I noticed, you know, in the old days, Turu Effendi, in those days, Turu Baba, he was quite exaggerated in his moves. We had a lot of trouble. This is how we learned, through imitation. And we would watch them, and we would just kind of step back, and after we would be watching Turu Baba, we couldn't do what he was doing, you know. But so we followed more Kemal Baba and Safar Baba, you know. But now I see in Turu Effendi, his movements are not as exaggerated. He doesn't move sometimes quite as much like he used to. So it's actually partially up to the sheikh as well. Okay? I'll tell you the truth. When I was there in December, you know how I have larger moves than a lot of other people.
Are you talking about the woman?
No, I'm talking about in general. Okay, the women should move pretty much the same, but with less, okay? A little bit less, okay? And also what I'm trying to explain, I'm trying to paint a bigger picture. You know, I was almost out of sync back in December when I was in Istanbul. Effendi didn't make those big heavy moves like he used to. You know, all those big swinging movements. The people weren't doing that in Istanbul anymore. Not like they used to do in the old days. So what I'm trying to say, it's also up to the sheikh, how the sheikh moves. You follow? Now, as far as the women are concerned, still even a little bit, the women's movements are a little bit more subtle. Same movements, a little more subtle. You need more examples. Okay. So, you know, when we'll be sitting, so not to be too exaggerated, okay? But still, it's not so much the movement, it's the mind has to be concentrated and focused on the zikr. It's not as much as the movements only go to accentuate that. So the other thing, it just came to my mind. On Friday, one of the last things that Walid talked about in his khutbah, which I have seen before, is this. I'm going to paraphrase what he said. The business of making the tawfid is, we do it a lot. And the object is so that we can say it just once perfectly. Because hopefully we will not necessarily, but most likely, we would be going to the other side with too many sins. But the pure, if you could just say the tawfid correctly just one time, with true deep sincerity, you can have on your scale, you can have a pile of sins that has weighing everything down, but one perfect time of saying the tawfid will go on the other side and it will offset. So that's one of the reasons why we repeat the La ilaha illallah so much, because it has so much weight to it that it will help to provide us some balance against our sins and our bad deeds. So the thing about what I want to say, we'll wait. Almost 9:20. It's not good. I'd rather do the namaz first tonight, if that's okay. But what I want to accentuate, when we go to the zikr tonight, it's again tied to that little story I just told you about the weight and the power of the tawfid, is the business of sincerity. So when you do your own private zikr, when you do your own dars that you have, you should take the time to go turn the lights down, sit on the sajada, and concentrate carefully on what you're doing. The absorption, the concentration should lead to some absorption, and if that happens, that's a matter you take up with Baba, not with me. But when we go tonight to sit in the zikr, take a few moments, calm yourself, look into your heart, and try to come to the zikr with as much sincerity for Allah's sake, and also practice that in your private dars. And when you make your own zikr, because you can't, there's nowhere you can go where you won't be under his eyes. You can't, there's no hiding from him anywhere. So, I mean, this is with all of the blessings and the grace that he gives us, the air, the food, the good company, you know, at least for a few minutes we can practice some very deep sincerity. Just for his sake. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You're up. Are you feeling?
Okay.
Good. You alright?
Yeah.
Good. The business of sincerity, is one of those is a purification. If you can do the zikr in a pure way, well, I'd like to tell you that something may happen for you. But then again, you should do the zikr without expectation. We should examine ourselves what our motivation is. When you do your private zikr, when you do your private prayers, you take a very careful look. I'm talking to myself as well. We need to see what that motivation is. If it is to be done for Allah's sake, then this is the whole point. So, all right. Alhamdulillah. No questions? Okay.
Well, I have a couple of questions, please. With the prior to zikr, we have a 20 minutes wusul. Could you speak about that? Is that the form of the zikr as well?
I'm sorry.
When you have the wusul?
Yes. This is zikr, because we're talking about the God. When Baba sits here, he's talking to you something. All zikr has many forms. It's not just a sitting or a dancing or a turning. You know, you're cooking in the kitchen. You're cutting. You say Bismillah ar-Rahmanim. You open the refrigerator door. You say Bismillah ar-Rahmanim. You go to work. You get out of bed. You get up in the morning. You say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You drink water, you start with the Bismillah, you finish your water with the Alhamdulillah. This is all different forms of zikrullah. You know, it doesn't have to be just sitting with a tasbih someplace. No, not at all. I mean, in every moment that you have, you should be thinking of your Lord one way or another, whether you're reciting Alhamdulillah on your breath, or you're thinking about, you know, the beautiful day it is that He gave you, or the wonderful wife you have, or the wonderful... This is all zikrullah. You follow me? It's not just sitting around, No. That's a particular style and a particular form that we do. But I'm talking about just being much more cognizant of whose presence you're in. You know, He knows you better than I do. He sees you better than me. You know, He knows you better than you. You know, so, you know, you can talk to Him. He's never someplace else. You know, he's always right there with you.
When I was really actually asking to form it, in other words, every Saturday night that we have, starting with Wusul, right?
Uh-huh.
and that is basically done first for 20-25 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then later on you do the zikr. And that format has been like, it's a must that we have to have both of them together, I mean, same day.
The thing is, I think that it was done at different times, and this has been an evolution over time because of the nature of life. But I think that some of these things were done. Seven. Did Effendi say that the usul or the weird was done after night prayer?
Yes, right before.
In the old days. Did you ever hear him say that?
After
Monday. No. In the old days. Okay. I thought I had heard him say that, but I yes, Baba.
As far as I know, Hazrat Pir was given three different usuls. One is a morning usul, which is very long. Includes 500 tarawih. Not saying, I'm not assigning anybody to do it. I'm just repeating what was told to me. The evening usul, I was told, was only tefid Allahu before the evening prayer. The night usul is the one we're doing. It's also the one that they're doing currently in Istanbul before night prayer, before evening.
Right.
For whatever reason, it has been decided to do in the Darya the nighttime usul before the evening prayer, so we're copying them.
Exactly.
But as I was told, again, given to Hazrat Pir was the recitation of this big week, don't say much about, in the morning, and the recitation of the small week, which we do on Monday night.
Right.
And what we do what we don't know.
What happens is, this is the clarification that I was looking for. So what we do, I mean, if you go to Istanbul during Ramadan, and they're having dinners every night, but they all sit down about a half hour before the sunset and do the usul. But here we do it. I'm sorry.
Every day is a few minutes earlier. It always changes.
Yeah, exactly. But here we only do it on Saturday night. Baba.
Every night before, at least on Thursday nights, they first recite the word of Kabir, the short one. That's the one we do on Monday night. Then they follow it with the usul, which is the recitation of Tefi,
right.
Yalla, Yahiziana, Sriyama, Yahu, Alam Yadafi, Yamani, Yalla, Bismillah.
Right.
Just what we do.
Yeah.
That's the usul. The word of Kabir is a recitation which we do on Monday nights, according to Baba's instruction.
Right.
What does that mean, usul?
It's the word usul.
Hmm?
Usul.
So translate it.
Procedure.
Procedure, okay. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt again, but the Verifendi once told me that many, many words in Turkish have a sort of worldly meaning, right? Usul is kind of a style, usually writing. Mm-hmm. But in the Dervish vocabulary, it often means something else. So usul in the Dervish vocabulary means a form of recitations given to the peer which we follow.
Or a procedure, just like seven said.
Right.
Okay.
But of course, in this case, it's not a procedure for cooking or anything.
It's a different kind of cooking. It's a different kind of cooking.
And it's interesting, if you look at the big red house, you find very often at the end of all the meanings of words, it says mystical. And that's almost always the meaning that the dervishes use. Like the first time they gave me the example of Benda. A normal Turkish, a benda is a salesman. But in the dervish vocabulary, a benda is like someone who serves the sheikh and the ikhwan and so on. That's the example he gave.
Yeah, there is, what Baba's saying is that there is a different language. Certain words have much different meaning. Okay. So, I mean, wine, for example. You know, the book, Love is the Wine. But that doesn't mean we drink wine like that, and like we don't drink an alcoholic grape juice. So no, it's a different kind of wine that we drink. You know, it's not alcoholic, and you don't wake up with a hangover. So words do have. But now these things like the usul are prescriptions, okay, and they are given to us through the sheikhs and through Hazreti Pir. They've been their assignments, that things that we are supposed to be doing. So this, the reading, you know, the reading of the weird and the recitation, what we call usul, this is a prescription that has been given that partakes, you know, in a sort of a public sense. Okay, does that answer your question? Just like you know about the weird, weirdi sagir. You know, these are things that are given to the dervishes. You have certain private things that you have. Everybody has their private duties to take care of. And this is one that we do all together. Okay? Does that make sense?
Of course it makes sense.
I mean, every tarikat has different assignments.
So yeah. The form of the zikr that we have, that we are sitting for a while and then we're getting up, and then on certain occasion like yourself, that the entire time you're sitting, is that like sort of the order makes a difference, or like in you, it is part of the whole thing?
The business of sitting, it's a matter of adab. That typically speaking, as the rules go in the tariqat, that when the sheikh is not here, that the zikr is done from a sitting position. You don't get up. Even I remember many years ago, not that many years ago, but in Tur Efendi's time, when he wasn't there, Muzaffar Baba would lead the zikr sitting down. It's only, I can't tell you how many years it's been that he has been given permission to stand up and do, you know, do full zikr, standing up, making lines, etc. I don't know how long it's been, but I have participated in zikrs there completely sitting down under his guidance when Efendi wasn't there. So the adab really is, unless Baba gives permission, that the zikr is done sitting down. So, Baba didn't give permission, so we sit down. Personally, I know it's hard on your knees, but usually the zikrs are... well, you know. Okay? But this is the adab of our tariqat. I don't know about other tariqats.
Simply put it, that zikr is a cleanser of the heart.
Yes.
And that's an old thing.
Yeah. It's a purification of the heart.
How about say when you say la ilaha illallah, you go from your head to your brain, back to your heart, go to the brain, come back to the heart, go to the brain, come back to the heart. Like a circle.
Well, okay, this is correct. The way the tawheed is done, in the new ones need to pay attention. When you're reciting La ilaha illallah, and you're doing it verbally, you know, this is another thing, another point. The thing is that when you're alone, you're doing your dars, it should be done audibly. You don't have to yell, but you can be, you know, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Okay. Now, The other thing is, when you're reciting La ilaha illallah, there you, at the same time, on the inside, you're reciting Muhammadan Rasulullah. So your tongue is saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, but inside, you're saying Muhammadan Rasulullah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. So this is going on. If you look at it carefully, you'll see the same number of syllables. So if, you know, your tongue is reciting, but your mind is reciting at the same time, Muhammadan Rasulullah. Now, it starts in the area of the navel, okay? And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to, La ilaha illallah. You're bringing energy up the back, up your spine to here, in illallah, into the heart. Okay, this is, I don't know if when you took hand that they explained these things to you. These are things that Baba has taught us in public over the years. It's perhaps the only real reason why I'm repeating it. But it's very important, the system, how you do it. In silent, Muhammadan Rasulullah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. And you bring it up to here, and then you shoot into the heart. Oh, he just spit up. Means he spit up a little bit. That little guy making a mess over there. Okay? This is really important, to be practicing the tawheed this way. So make an effort to do it that way, please.